I've read, I think I've probably read John chapter 5 probably 100 times this week, and I wrestled with it all the way until this morning, and it's just been, sometimes I just say this stuff just to, when we get going, just so, it was just always so helpful for me to watch Sam, and Sam's just so open about what's really going on. He teaches so well, but he also just, he shares kind of what's going on with his heart, and that's helped me in learning to teach, and so sometimes I just wonder if anyone here is called to teach, and I just try to, at the beginning, just kind of share how I got to this point. You know, I'm not just randomly picking things. I'm praying about it. I pray for you guys, try to picture who's here, and pray for you guys and see what comes to my mind for you guys, and I'm trying to, you know, go through the Word chapter by chapter, but yeah, for some reason, I took notes and read and read and prayed and then read and prayed, and man, John 5 just wasn't it for today. Hopefully next week, because I really enjoyed it. What I did is I was just like, I felt like there's just a wall there. I can't get through. You know, I see what it's saying bit by bit, but I'm not seeing. I don't have like revelation from the Holy Spirit about this chapter. And I know that's what I have to have to give. You know, I could teach some stuff about it, but it just didn't feel like it was what the Holy Spirit was doing. And so, and for some reason, I just kept thinking about the armor of God, and just kept thinking about it, and didn't really want to go there, and just the more I wrestled with it and prayed about it, I just finally ended up here, and I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do the armor of God and see how that goes. And so here we are in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and we're just going to go through it verse by verse. So he starts off, and he says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." And it just says, in the strength of his might, okay? And we've got to catch that part, that it's his might. We can tend to skip some of these words and think it's just saying be strong, okay? Which is fine. It says be strong several times in the Bible. But it says be strong in the strength of his might. And I was just thinking, you know, one of the most dangerous places and one of the most places where you have the most open doors to the enemy is when you think you're strong in yourself, when you think you're a strong Christian because of what you know or what you've done, or if you have any other source for your strength other than him himself and his might, and you're so open to what the enemy could tell you or convince you of, and it says, the command is so clear, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Got to get to a place as we grow where more and more and more it's his strength. There's a famous tombstone. I can't remember what famous preacher it was, but his tombstone said, you know, so and so says name, called himself a worm of a man, okay? But, and it goes on to say something like, you know, but trusted in, you know, the Lord. And that was just so good to me. That's like a life goal now, where it's just get that point where you really realize who you are. I have no strength in myself. I don't have you start off as a young man thinking you're just so good at everything, and that should actually dwindle as you get, and you should see the Lord more. Anyway, that's enough about that. But 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Okay? Says in another place that we're not ignorant of his schemes, but I just need to throw out there that, man, we don't fully understand his schemes. We can't be arrogant in that either, you know. We don't understand fully what the enemy's trying to do all the time. We have to, that's why it's so important to have another source. I'm not smart enough in my own to outsmart the devil. I'm not, okay? And I've got to, I can't be so prideful to think that. I'm not smart enough to do it. I'm not able to do it. I need the Holy Spirit. And I need to be blindly obedient to the Holy Spirit because he knows, okay? He knows what the devil's doing. He knows what the plan is. He knows the scheme. And so for him to come in and tell me, Levi, be humble here, you know, Levi, follow this, Levi, go this way, you know, that's so important for me to follow that because he knows exactly what's going on. That's why it almost never makes sense to us, but he knows. And so I can't be so arrogant to think that I know the schemes of the devil so well, no matter how many books I've read about it, that I can just outsmart him and make it on my own. So I'm just preaching. These first couple of verses are just about being humble to the Holy Spirit and the Lord and what he's doing. 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Okay, that's so much of this has been talked about so much. Such a good section here. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We've got to get that in our minds. Have to. I don't think there's anything that probably pleases Satan more in this spiritual warfare thing than us thinking that the battle is against someone else. I think he just loves being undercover. And so we don't wrestle. There is a wrestling. It says we don't wrestle against this, but we do wrestle against this. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I've got to constantly be in battle and on guard in my mind that I'm not wrestling with Ryan here. My fight isn't against him. My fight isn't against Sean. It isn't against what these people are doing. My fight is different than that. I can't get distracted, as tempting as it is every day. I can't get so focused on people that I forget the reality. And the only way I can know that is by faith. And but it is against, so there is a wrestling. There is some kind of fighting that I have to do where it's a back and forth. It's wrestling. There is a wrestling, and against rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, present darkness, spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. A lot of people have done all kinds of things with that. I don't have any revelation about what all that specifically means. It's just, well, let's just call it whatever Satan's doing and whatever plan he has and scheme of plan. The main point isn't how each one of those things work. The main point is that we have to wrestle against that and not against flesh and blood. And all that to say, just a little setup to the armor, but all that to say is just, again, I hear this all the time, we're in a war, okay? We have to submit to the fact that we're in a war. We have to be aware of it, that we're in a war, and there's more going on than just daily life. There's so much going on. So much going on affecting your faith and your thoughts and your mind. And just let's just keep it simple. Instead of getting crazy with what spiritual warfare is and what Satan, he's lying. That's the main thing he's doing here. He's telling us lies in all kinds of ways. And so I was thinking of a couple stories this morning. Just a simple thing that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. I think we all know that, but we forget it. But here's the thing I think that we're tempted to think. I'm going to use Ryan as an example. If I might know if me and Ryan have this conflict, I might know that our battle isn't against, my battle is not against Ryan, but I'm just as easy tempted to think that, well, it might not be Ryan, but it's, you know, Satan working through Ryan, and I can still blame him just as much, you know? And so we're so tempted to think that even though it's not the actual person, I think that my main problem is other people. And it's just, we need such a wake-up call. It's so easy to see this stuff in other people. And most of the time, I'm just going to submit to you guys that most of the time, I think if we're having major issues, it's going on in us. Okay, it's what's happening in ourselves. It's not what's going on. There might be something going on in Ryan that's affecting me, but the main thing is usually what's going on in me. I'll give an example. So I was thinking of someone and a friend that I have, and they just had this, for whatever reasons, for several pretty good reasons, they have this fear of rejection, okay? It's just a common thing. Fear of just someone's going to reject me. If I put myself out there, they're going to reject me. If I try to make friends, they're going to reject me. Okay, we all have our different struggles. What happens is, okay, because it's just so weird that if you allow these things in your heart, okay, and it grows, and you dwell on it, and it becomes, your faith actually somehow gets put into it eventually, you know? Because it probably just started out as one little thought, you know, that they're going to reject you. And then, but then it's like, they start thinking about it, then you start thinking about all the reasons why they will, and then the problems with other people, you know, Ryan's going to reject me because he's got these flaws. And what ends up happening, my point in this is, you end up, what happened with my friend, what happens with most of us, you end up becoming the thing that you're so scared of, you know. So this person got so scared of being rejected that they ended up rejecting everyone else themselves because they didn't want to put themselves out there and be around people, okay. And so, but the whole time they're sitting here thinking, the problems with Ryan, the problems with Sean, the problems with all these other people, they're rejecting me. Really what's happening is they're the ones rejecting because they've got so much focus on this deal. Their faith isn't so much in this and not the Lord. They're wide open to any lie the enemy would tell them. So, you see how that practically works? I mean, it's just, it's weird that you become that. And it's all of us. Even us who think we're so spiritual, it's all of us. That just this week, I had the exact same thing happen to me. It started out with one little tiny thing that happened last week. And 10 times out of 10, I think I blow it off. And so what ends up happening is I just hear the little thought, you know? You hear the little thought and you start thinking about it. And I almost kind of laughed at it at first. And I even think I told a joke to Katie about it. It's like kind of joking about it because it was in my mind a little bit. And I just like, kind of blew it off. But then the next day, I was thinking about it again. And the next day is more. And then the next day, I think I wasted probably 2 or 3 hours just sitting, thinking about this issue and just this insecurity. And the next thing you know, I'm like, this is just embarrassing but true, like sending out texts to people to try to test them to see if they're thinking this thing about me, to see what's really going on. And then, you know, the next day I'm just completely wiped out, depressed, and a mess. And I realized studying this, man, just how quickly those things grow, okay? I've got to be on guard that I'm in a war. You know, I've got to be aware of what these things can do to my heart and my mind if I allow them in. I've got to do anything I can to stand, which is what it's going to say. And so what it really takes is just not some focus on, I could have been just so easily tempted about this little issue I had to think that my problem was with this other person that just barely started it, you know. The problem was never with that person. The problem was what was in my heart. And so it goes on here in 13. It says, since you're in such a war, since you have all this going on, since you have lies coming at you like crazy, 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. There's two things really in here. You got two calls. Since we're in such a war, you have take up the whole armor of God, which is pretty much saying, so if we're tempted to sin, if we're tempted with anything, with a thought, with a lie, with a sin, God's provided a way out. We know that in Scripture, right? God has provided a way. He's able to keep us from stumbling. He's given us a way out of that thing where we don't have to give in. But the thing he's given us that prevents that is actually this armor. That's the armor is what he's provided for us to get out of that. And what we're going to eventually see is that armor is Jesus, okay? And so, but that's, it's more specific than just thinking that, okay, God's just going to take care, you know, God will get me out of this. God will get me out of this. It's deeper than that because it's God's already provided a way and it's Jesus. And I submit to him. I submit to that. I submit to the Christ who saves me, not just some vague way out. It's Jesus is the way out. Second thing is having done all to stand firm. There's just endurance, okay? Two parts about warfare, submitting to Jesus and enduring. And what enduring is just submitting to Jesus over and over and over, okay? It's not just surviving and having all this endurance. It's just going to be able to make it through whatever happens. And I'm just hating life, but I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it. It's not that. It's submitting to Jesus right now. And an hour from now, when I hit that temptation again, I submit to Jesus again and again and again. And there's so much good stuff about endurance in the Bible. Hebrews is full of endurance. This is 12:7 in Hebrews. It just says, it is for discipline that you have to endure. God's treating you as sons. And so that's Romans 5 is going to say something like, therefore, not only that, what's it say? It says, not only that, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because suffering produces endurance, and endurance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint. And so, man, he's given us so much to... This is how we endure. We rejoice in our sufferings, and we also know that God's treating us like sons and discipline, submitting to those things, just allow that endurance to grow. And so those two things, just submitting to the armor of God that he has and sticking with it over and over and over. Now, that's the setup. Then we go through all these things, and I just want to read through them. 14 says, stand therefore, and you have this list of things. You have having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, putting on as shoes the readiness by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith in which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times to the Spirit with all prayers and supplications. Okay, here's going to be my main lesson. It's just this simple thing. I think most of us have learned this. A lot of us can probably quote what each part of the armor is, but the main thing you need to know isn't just what each specific thing is. You need to know that it's Jesus, that the armor is nothing less than Jesus. And so, and what I mean by that is, like, when it says, stand having fastened on the belt of truth, what that means is you need to put on truth, literally, put on truth. And what is truth? When Jesus says a statement like, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, then we can just easily say, truth is Jesus, okay? Truth isn't something I go searching for, or I need to go get, or I need to go try to earn it. Truth is Jesus, and Jesus has been given to us. And so, all these things you already have by grace, okay? That's the important thing to know. You can't put it on if you don't know you don't already have it. These things have been given to you by grace because they're Jesus. So I'll go through these, and then I'll show you how that plays out. But it says, next one is, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Okay, again, Christ is my righteousness. I think Sam's preached about it the last 2 weeks in 1 Corinthians 1:30. But Christ is my righteousness. So it's nothing less than that. It's not a gift apart from Christ. It's not something I search for. Christ is righteousness. Peace. The gospel of peace is the next one. Ephesians 2, I think 14 is going to say, he himself is our peace. Okay? He himself is our peace. So how many times when we're talking to people, or if we, or even on our own thoughts, I sit here and I have this thought like, I just don't have peace. I don't have peace right now. And I just can't get peace. I can't find peace in life. Oh, we have all these little things. And what I want to say every time is, yes, you do. You do have peace. Because peace isn't a feeling. Peace isn't something that you get by being in a different situation in life. It isn't by everything going right in life and things falling together. That's not peace. Peace is Jesus. He himself is peace. And Jesus has been given to you. And so every single one of these things is actually Jesus. We also have the shield of faith because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the source. He's what faith is all about. Salvation, which he is salvation. Obviously, there's not anything apart from him here. All these things are Christ. And I learned this. You almost have to learn this stuff by being in it. You know, I learned this lesson in probably the hardest time of my life, where it was just, you couldn't find any of these things. It was like it was constant warfare, for whatever reason, about all these things. And it made me so much more in faith about who Jesus was, actually going through a fiery trial to where you have to depend on Christ is my righteousness. And I was in such a mess at that time, okay, I think we've all been in a time like this, but was just in such a mess that couldn't find any of these things, never felt like I was, you know, good with God, so I didn't have righteousness. I was wondering about salvation. I never had peace. I just didn't have any of these things. And so what I had to do is I had to take this seriously, and I had to put on these things. I'd wake up in the morning, because it was such a hard trial, and very first thing I'd do, I'd put on these things. And what put on means, okay, I mean, I just heard it explained so many different ways, but to me what put on is put your faith in, okay? That's what put on is. That means grab hold of what Christ has given you by faith. You already have it. Put your faith in it. So for me, like I was so struggling with righteousness. I'm not right with God. I don't feel right with God. I feel distant. I feel a wall between us. I was so struggling with righteousness. And so what I had to do is I'd wake up and very first thing, and I'd say, here's what I feel, God. I don't feel close to you. I don't feel any kind of relationship with you. I feel distant. I feel like you've abandoned me. But by faith, you are my righteousness. Your blood is enough for me, and I submit right now to what you say I am. Okay? So right there, me just submitting to what Christ did for me and not trying to earn it, not trying to go get it, just simply submitting humbly. I don't feel any of this, but Christ, you are righteousness. And you've given, God, you've given me your son. For you so loved the world that you gave your son, okay? I accept the gift. Right there, that's putting on a breastplate of righteousness. It's not anything less than that. It's me accepting that Christ is the thing I'm looking for. The same thing with peace. I just go through this every day for such a long time. Every day would have to submit to these things. I don't have any peace, God. I'm struggling. My mind's a mess. But you are my peace. And I don't feel it, don't experience it, but I submit to it. I accept you as my peace. And same thing, I'd go through. You are my salvation. You're the author and finisher of my faith. You're all these things to me, and I'd find my identity in Christ. This is exactly what abiding is. We'll do another lesson sometime when we get there in John about what abiding is. But abide in me, and I in you, and you'll bear much fruit. What that is finding myself in Christ, putting on Christ, putting my faith in who Jesus is, putting my faith in who I am in Jesus. All these things are the same thing, and it's the key to everything we do. So, 5 minutes left. We have, you kind of see, did I explain that enough? I don't want to repeat myself, but Christ is these things, and I'm putting my faith in it. The last one, you kind of get the revelation on these things, I think, one deal at a time. You kind of learn at first that Christ is my salvation. I remember when I first got saved, you just don't know. And I remember thinking, if I sin, do I lose my salvation? If I go this way, that, and you just don't understand. And you eventually have to submit that Christ is my salvation. It's not something that shakes around, because Christ doesn't shake around. I'm just submitting to what Christ is. And it's the same thing with all these things. Then you eventually learn, like I said, truth. Truth is Christ, righteousness is Christ. And the last one I actually had to learn was 15. And as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I never really, really got that one. And what I eventually learned is that it's more than just peace right there, because it says the readiness of the gospel of peace. Being ready to give the gospel is putting on armor. So what that says to me, if you need armor in that area, okay, doing this, okay, letting Jesus be this in your life is going to protect you from certain specific attacks of the enemy. And we want to put on the whole armor of God so we don't have any open doors to what he's doing. And so, but what that is like I said, it's more than peace. It's being ready to give the gospel of peace. And so what I learned is if I'm giving the gospel, if I'm giving the gospel to Levi back here, that in itself, if I'm ready to give him the gospel at the Spirit's command, that is putting on armor. Isn't that crazy? That it's more than just being defensive and trying to survive. It's that, see, so many times I want to go sit in my room and hide from everything going on and then ask God to come bless me and protect me from everything. And I'm not on mission at all. And so much you learn this, that if I'm on mission, it wipes out so much of what the enemy, because my worst times are sitting in my room thinking. And when I'm on mission and focused on other people and not myself and focused on what God's doing in others and going after that and being ready to give the gospel and giving it and throwing myself out there and just saying, they can reject me all they want because I'm giving the gospel for God. This isn't about me. I'm just being on mission takes away so many lies and takes away so many, because you're just submitting to it. Now instead of sitting in a room wondering, these guys are going to reject me. What if I do this? What if I do that? Trying to be just right. Now I'm just saying, God, I'm on mission. I'm going to go do this. They can do whatever they want because I know I'm doing what you called me to do. So being on mission is going to be one of your best weapons against what the enemy is doing. Okay? And so just want to throw that out to you. It seems like every week for the last month I've had one little thing to say about evangelism or being on mission or sharing the gospel. And I really think, the Lord's wanting to stir that again in us. Just being ready is protection from the enemy. Being ready to share at a moment's notice just wipes out all these thoughts about myself. And so, and it goes on, and just so many great things. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There's been so much great stuff taught on that, about how that's a just how Jesus did that. When he's quoting Deuteronomy, he's quoting scripture back to the enemy, and how the word of God is just such a weapon. And then praying at all times in the Spirit to the end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And again, here it is again. Me being on a mission of prayer, me praying with all supplication for all the saints, is putting on armor. Because again, I'm not sitting here, God help me with this, make me better in this. I'm not so focused on myself. I'm praying for all the saints. I'm praying for Sean and Levi and Tony. And I'm thinking about them. I'm getting to where the Spirit's flowing out of me now. Because I'm otherly. I'm not just so involved in myself, which is where I'm most prone to attack. Okay? I think I've said that enough. And we're out of time anyway. But I don't know. Simple lesson, elementary lesson, I think. We've all probably heard it a million times, but I do know that was on my heart. And it's just such a good reminder. Because what's funny is, when I was in that, to close this, when I was in that deepest, you know, attack that I talked about, this was 5-6 years ago, and I really had to do that every day. If I didn't get up and put on God's armor and submit to who Jesus was and put my faith in Jesus, like actively do it. It wasn't just waking up and kind of going through my day. It was like, first thing, I've got to put my faith in Jesus again. I have to, or I'm just going to get killed with lies. I did that every day for months and months and months, a long time, because I needed to. And what's funny is, once the suffering kind of lets up, you let up. And that's just such a good lesson, you know. I mean, you just open yourself up again. And this is just something, good times, bad times, hard times, we need this every day, just that simple faith in who Jesus is again, okay? So, Father, I pray that for all of us. Give us a revelation of who we are in Christ, who's been given to us by grace. Just that, pray that we'd accept all you've given us in Jesus as a gift. I pray that we'd see it as a gift of grace. I'd see that we'd see the work on the cross as a finished work. I pray that you just give us what no man can explain. Just give us revelation from your Holy Spirit about who Jesus Christ is. And let us submit to it by faith. Give us grace to have faith in who Jesus is. Amen.